Today is Tuesday, November 17th. This is Janine Spurgeon, and I'm speaking to Ava Espe, an owner of Nona's by So Italian here in Plainfield. She's also a resident of Brownsburg, and we're going to talk to her about her restaurant's experience during the pandemic, how things went down for them. Hi, Ava.
Hi.
I always start out with this one question. When you first heard about the COVID-19 virus, what were your thoughts? What did you think?
When we first started hearing about it, I was actually pretty concerned, and I took it very seriously, which I still do, but I took it, like, really, really seriously. I mean, even coming home, once everything started to start to close down, and they closed us down, I remember at home we were, like, taking off our shoes before we entered. We had our slippers right by the door. We were washing our hands before we came into the house. Like, there's a sink right in the mudroom. So we were washing our hands, taking off, like, our outer layers, washing them, and then going upstairs and changing into our home clothes, I guess.
Yeah.
And we were taking it very seriously, not letting, like, anything come into the house, and doing the same thing with the restaurant. And I was very worried. I thought, I mean, just many things were running through my head. I didn't know how it would affect society, you know, because I would see at the beginning everybody was going out and buying out, you know, all the toilet paper and water bottles and, you know, necessities like that. And so I was like, I was seeing it kind of be slowly declining. And I remember going to the store one time just for a regular run, and people were like, don't let them look at your cart. Don't let them touch your cart. And I was like, oh, my gosh, wow. So I was like, I was very, in a personal way, I was like, oh, my gosh, society's going to go crazy, and then it's going to be anarchy. And I don't, you know, things that run through your head when you see stuff like that. And I took it very seriously, and I thought.
Did you guys anticipate the fact that you were going to have to close down dining for so long?
I thought, well, I didn't think so because I didn't think the state would do that, but it was one of those, like, you know, worst situation kind of things that run through your head as you're faced with circumstances like this.
Right.
We didn't, but I remember the first week that, like, they had just shut us down, like, that Monday. That Monday they said, okay, starting tomorrow, you know, no dine-in at all, but, and we were, at first we thought they were going to shut us down completely. We understood that. We could still stay open for carryout because we were still considered essential as we provided food. So we were allowed to stay open for carryout, but we didn't know. I mean, we thought we were going to be, you know, just dead anyways. We were like, we don't know, and that affected our whole, like, buying process. We didn't want to buy lots of, like, fresh produce and lots of anything at all that we sold, actually. Because
that's a consideration, definitely.
Yeah, and I remember that first week, I was like, we were going to be so slow, and it was pretty slow, but that Friday, I was so concerned. I thought after that Friday, for some reason, there was a rumor going around that they were going to shut us down completely, not even any carryout, and I think that's what most people thought. And that Friday, we were slammed. We were so slammed that Friday. We had a line, people, I mean, it was crazy, and we couldn't keep up because not only were we low on staff, we were low on supplies because we didn't want to buy a lot and then, you know, they had to close us down for good.
Right.
And so we were just low on everything. And I think the community was a rough night in the fact that, you know, there was a lot of people that had to wait over an hour. There was a lot of people that, you know, got the wrong thing because we were so slammed and we couldn't find their order or something. It was something that we had never seen. And a lot of people, and I would go out and I would, oh, guys, once I could go out because I was slammed in the kitchen, I was helping them out. Uh-huh. Once I could go out and talk to the customers, I was like, look, I'm so sorry. I mean, you know, I was going out there trying to offer other things and giving out, like, coupons or things like that. I was like, hey, can I do this for you? Something like that. And they're like, no, we just want to make sure you're open after all this is over. And it was like, wow, you know, they came out to support local. And I think that's something that Brownsburg and Plainfield and really all of Pennsylvania County does really well, is that they're really all about supporting local, which is amazing.
That's great,
because there's a lot of amazing local restaurants and local, I mean, there's local supermarkets. There's just loads of local places you can go support. Uh-huh. And I think it's great that they thought of us during that time. So I'm still very sad about the people that left unhappy that night because, you know, they had to wait over an hour and everything like that. But I was very touched that they all were worried about you know, supporting local and making sure we were open. And not just us, I'm sure all the other local restaurants and
right, yeah. I've seen like some of those videos of the so-called Karens, you know, freaking out because they had to wait an hour for their food at other places, you know, videos. Have you seen those?
I have.
So I guess you're not the only one who had to deal with that, huh?
Yeah, those give me like anxiety.
So I'm assuming that your business changed a great deal during this time. Can you kind of give us an overview of how it changed?
It did. We had, we didn't have a super fancy business by any means, but we had, you know, servers and you were waited at the table and hosts that took you to the table. And we tried to have a nice atmosphere where we always did a lot of, like, we've done, like, weddings where it's, like, the full ceremony and reception is done at the restaurant, and receptions and bridal showers and birthdays and anniversaries, because I think it was a nice place. It is a nice place, I think, to have that. But we changed our service, not only because we do have a lot of restrictions. We can't leave things on the table, like shakers. We can't leave anything on the table, really. And we had a lot of other restrictions, like you have to have a new cup every time that you refill a drink and things like that. So with this new system, we're no longer serving at the table, but you order at the counter when you come in, and then you sit down and we'll take it out for you. And we struggled a lot because we not only changed that system because of our restrictions, but we changed it because we couldn't have as many workers on at a time. Some people they couldn't work anymore or something like that. Sometimes I have people that are quarantined. They'll call me, hey, look, I got tested or I got contact traced and I have to quarantine.
Right.
Even if they don't have any symptoms. They have to be quarantined for 2 weeks. So I don't have that employee for 2 weeks. Mm. And sometimes that happens where two or three at a time have to be out. So this system helps it where if I'm low on staff, I can still take care of multiple tables at the same time. Whereas before with waiters, if I was low on staff, it was very difficult for like one or two people to take care of the dining room. Now with this system, I can, like, since you order up at the counter, right as soon as you order and you pay, that ticket gets sent to the kitchen. So sometimes, like, if you order a salad or, like, appetizer or something, sometimes when you're getting your drink, like, your salad is already ready because they got their ticket right away, right. You know? So it makes it really easy for, like, one or two servers to be out on the floor and taking care of multiple tables, taking it out and knowing where everything goes, that sort of thing. And we've tried to make it kind of a hybrid. We're trying to keep the service, and we struggled. At first, I don't think our employees and even myself understood that, you know, you have to still go check on the table as if you were a server.
Right.
And make sure that they're okay, because they're expecting someone to come and they don't understand, especially because they're used to our old service.
Uh-huh.
And so something we struggled, some people left unhappy, and we've kind of fixed it to where now we always go and check up on them. After we've delivered all the food, hey, can I get you a refill? Can I do this for you? Are you missing anything? And we have tablets now that we can go to the table and order there, and they can pay right on with the tablet.
Do you anticipate keeping this model after everything's all taken care of?
We anticipate keeping this model definitely for lunch. We're definitely going to stick with it for lunch because it helps make everything so much faster, and people that have a really tight lunch schedule, we can really get their food out in like 5 minutes or so. So we really want to keep it for lunch. We are still thinking about, hopefully, for dinner, maybe like around 5 p.m. start with in the future.
Okay.
Keep this system for lunch, and then at 5 p.m. we can switch over to servers just to have a nicer dinner experience, if you will.
Obviously, restaurants were probably hit one of the hardest because of this. Were you guys able to take advantage of the PPE program?
We were.
We were
able to take advantage of we got a lot of, like, you know, hand sanitizers and supplies and things through that program.
So the impact of the virus on your business was obviously great. Did you ever worry about having to close the restaurant permanently because of, you know, it's just not doable anymore?
Yeah, that definitely ran through my mind. That was definitely something I was like, should we, you know, because we have two businesses. We have one in Brownsburg and one in Plainfield.
Mm-hmm.
The one in Brownsburg before COVID was already doing a lot of carryout. It's kind of more built for that.
Mm-hmm.
But whereas we, our main source of income at the restaurant in Plainfield was dining and big events, parties. We had a lot of people that did weddings and events there, and that was our main source. So it was like a dine-in thing. So I was very worried for Nona, especially in the beginning, because I was like, I don't know. But I think that in general, the trend the past couple of years, especially since DoorDash and Uber Eats and all of these other services have popped up, mm-hmm. I think the trend was already moving more towards carryout fast food, or not necessarily fast food, but food that can be done fast and can be taken and delivered and still taste good, you know, not like steak, but mm-hmm. food that can still taste good after it's been 30 minutes in a car mm-hmm. getting to your house. So I think that was something that we had been already seeing. And with COVID, I think that was tremendously pushed.
I've heard that from other folks. It kind of accelerated the carryout thing.
It definitely accelerated the carryout, and not just carryout dinner, but carryout groceries and carryout these programs that will send you like what you need to make dinner. So that's been a lot bigger, and I think the restaurants that have suffered the most during this time have been restaurants that were full-service, restaurants that have food that, you know, I mean, if you think, hey, I'm going to go grab dinner, but I want it to go, or I'm picking it up, you don't think, I'm going to go to a fancy steakhouse and get it to go mm-hmm. and come home with my steak.
Right.
But you think of, like, something that's going to taste good in 20, 30 minutes, and something that's going to be relatively, you know, cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
For that sort of stuff. So I think that those are the restaurants that suffered. And a lot of my favorite restaurants that I love going to are like closed, at least for now, or who knows when they'll reopen.
Yeah.
And it's really, you know, it's really sad because I love those restaurants. And
what restaurants are you referring to?
Sullivan, at Keystone.
Oh,
last time I went.
Sullivan Steakhouse? My gosh, I haven't been there in 20 years.
Yeah, I love that place. In fact, our family loves that place. And we went, well, I went to the mall actually just a couple weeks ago. I wasn't actually going to eat, but I parked at Sullivan's because you can never get any parking at Keystone.
Yeah.
And they had, there were like no cars, and they had a sign, like they had a multiple signs. So I don't know if they just hadn't gone back to take some of them down, but it was very confusing. One was like, we're not open until this, or we're only open for carry out. And one was like, we're opening again. But I didn't see anybody. And it was weird. And there's this other fabulous, fabulous restaurant that was where I used to get, like, dumplings and stuff. And I can't remember their name right now.
Oh.
I want to give
them
a shout out.
But they're Indianapolis restaurants then?
Yeah, they're Indianapolis restaurants. And they just closed down for good. They announced.
Oh, that's too bad.
So, I know, it's terrible. And there's just, so we, in fact, my family makes a point of, we go out to eat every Sunday after church. And we always try to make a point to go eat local. The Indian restaurant in Plainfield is delicious, and the owners are very nice.
Okay.
I'm trying to think. I think it's the only Indian restaurant.
The India Bistro? India
Bistro, yes.
Okay.
Oh, fabulous.
And they're closed?
Really yummy. They're not closed. I'm saying that they're really good.
Oh. I've heard that too. Speaking of trends, obviously business, you know, went flat during the close down. And now here we are in November. Cases are surging. Everything's mm-hmm. getting almost worse than it was that back then, but nobody's closing down. How is your business doing? I mean, do you have a pretty steady business, or have you had any loss of business?
We've definitely seen, again, now, like this past week, I was pretty slow for dine-in, but I had a lot of carry-out, and I had a lot of orders through DoorDash. And so this week, we're going to have like some specials for carry-out, but people still order carry-out. But I have seen the trend where, I mean, I saw in the fall, I finally saw kind of like my sales climbing up again a little bit,
uh-huh.
getting a little more steady. They were, you know, staying the same. We were doing pretty good for dine-in, everything like that. And then this past week, I just saw, you know, a lot of decline for dine-in.
Right.
And decline in general, I think, because of all of this that's kind of popped up. And
mm-hmm.
I have some kids that are like, hey, I just got contact trace, you know, that they go to the high school.
Mm-hmm.
I just got contact trace, and so I can't work for a couple weeks. And so I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I hope they do okay and nothing happens. I hope it's just a trace. And I see that stuff coming up again, which I hadn't seen in a month or so.
Cases are surging really bad. It's going to
mm-hmm.
get ugly, I guess. But isn't that interesting, though, that nothing's really closing down? I mean, obviously that's good for your business, but is it good for your business?
I don't know. I'm very grateful for the people that are still going out. And I think our community really wants to make things seem as normal as possible, and I'm very grateful for that, but I think, I don't know, maybe people are almost like over. I have had people in my life, not super close, like nobody in my immediate family or people that I live close to or my friends, but I have had people like maybe someone that I know at church or a family member from another state that I know have had COVID, so I know it's real. I'm not trying to minimize what that is. I just sometimes feel, I don't see it near me, you know, so it's harder to kind of keep that in perspective. I don't want to minimize that either because I feel like that's such a blessing, too, that it hasn't happened near me, you know. But, yeah, and so I think maybe some people are just like, you know, I want to move on with my life and I want to do this. And it's kind of gauging, like, I want to, you know, not hurt the community and still support and still go out, but I also want to keep everyone safe.
Right.
So it's about keeping that balance, and I think a lot of people are struggling with that, myself included.
How about the local government? How do you feel like they've handled the situation, especially in regard to you guys?
I think Hendrix has been really great. I think I don't have any complaints.
What about masks? Have you had any problems with people enforcing any mask rules or anything like that?
No, not really. Most of my customers come in with a mask, and then they take them off once they get to their table, which is what they're supposed to do. I don't really have to remind them of that. I actually can't think of a time that someone has come in without a mask. I think I've had, like, maybe one customer. Yeah, I can't remember anybody coming in without a mask. I've seen videos of, like, you know, people that they refuse to wear a mask, and then, no, you can't come inside, and blah, blah, and I'm like, I've been so nervous to handle that. I'm like, oh, please don't let me handle something
like
that.
That's my next question. How do you think you would handle that if it happens that somebody is really argumentative? Are you prepared to tell them to leave, or would you back down, or how would you handle it?
I think I would just have to offer alternatives, you know.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I have a mask if you don't have one on you, or my offering, like, hey, I can serve you, I have a tablet, I can serve you out in your car, you know, I really could. I've actually had people that come in, they don't come in, actually, they, like, park, and then they will call me on the phone and order, and then they're like, can you bring it to the car? And I was like, yeah, and I have the tablet, I can pay at the tablet too, and they will either take that to go, or they will just eat in the car, and I haven't asked them to do that, like, that's just their choice. And so I probably would offer something like that. Like, you know, I can't offer you here. You know, you have to wear a mask until you get to the table. And that's not even, like, a personal restaurant rule. That's just the rule that wasn't, you know, by the government.
Right.
I have to follow those rules or I get shut down.
Ah,
you know, so that's something that I would, that was, some, you know, that's something, hey, ma'am, I will get shut down and I don't want to get shut down, you know. Because everyone has a different opinion and they're all, you know, some side really take it seriously. Some people are like, no, this is, you know, blah, 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 and so I try to be welcoming of everyone because I don't want to.
Right.
But I have to tell them, like, I get shut down if not everybody's wearing a mask. All of my employees are wearing a mask. I have to wear a mask, so you do too. I'm sorry. That's just the card we were dealt.
Have any of your employees gotten COVID?
Yes. I had an employee that had tested for COVID.
Well, how did you handle it then when you have an employee that's got the COVID? What do you do?
Well, they have to quarantine, so I'm like, you cannot come in. I always ask them. I had a meeting with all of them once when all this started and all this was first going on. I was like, if you have any symptom that may possibly be related, like any fever, any loss of taste or something that's like flu-like, anything like that, you need to call me. Do not come in. Call me first. And they've been doing that. I've never had someone come in that has had flu symptoms or anything. They always stay home and call me. And so I'm like, okay, you need to quarantine, get tested, and then come talk to me, you know, that sort of thing.
Do you worry about the exposure, like if they, about the other employees? I mean, that's what I'm wondering about. I mean, one employee gets sick and you're thinking, oh no, the other employees are all exposed. Now they all have to quarantine.
Yeah.
What do you do now?
Yeah, that was one of the things that we struggled with, which is why we switched over to the order up at the counter, because sometimes, hey, this person was really close to this person last week, so
you
got to tell them to take a break or see if they can get tested and then talk to us or something. So we were really, really low on staff, not only because some people couldn't work, but then, you know, we had other people that had to quarantine by the contact tracing and all that stuff. So with that system, it helps us really be able to take care of everybody with a low amount of staff.
How do you feel about the national response to the pandemic? Do you think it could have been better or worse or changed somehow?
I think it could have been better. I think it also could have been worse.
That's diplomatic.
It really, you know, it could have gone both ways. I hate that, you know, this year has been so polarizing as far as just everyone's beliefs about everything, COVID, anything else politically. And if you say one thing, that means you're against the other one for sure, you know?
Yeah.
And I hate that because I really think life should be a balance of things. I definitely think things could have been better, but I think things could have been worse. And I think what we did, I think we did the best with what we knew, and it's hard to say.
Okay. What are your sources of news?
I try to do all over the place. There are some sites, and I don't want to say because I really just don't trust. I look a lot at, like, mostly, like, what the government puts out itself. Because I feel like as close to real news as I think I could get. I'm sure they try to soften things up, maybe, but I think our local government has been really good about being as honest and open as possible.
Have there have you had any problems at all with the local government?
No.
Excellent.
No, I've, the lady that comes and does our health inspection, she always comes in and she does our inspection, and then she'll talk about, well, I can ask her, hey, you know, what do you think this is going? What have you heard? And if I have any questions about, for example, I wasn't sure if I was allowed to, I have hand sanitizers on all the tables right now. And I was like, I know I'm not supposed to have anything on the table. Can I have these hand sanitizers? She was like, yeah, that's fine. Just got to make sure you're wiping them down. And I can ask her any questions. And I can ask her questions, hey, how's everything looking? She can tell me, this is the cases that we're seeing in hospitals. This is how it's looking like in Indiana. And I really trust that she knows what she's talking about because she's there. So I get my news a lot from her, you know, anytime she comes in, honestly.
Okay. Two questions. Has your experience transformed how you think about your family, friends, and community?
Yeah, I think that my family and friends and community, I think it's made me see them in a different light and in a good and an even better light. My family has been very, it made us closer, I think, because when it first started, we were all in one accord. Okay, we need to do this, this, and that to protect ourselves, protect everybody else that we know. And we were on one accord. We were much closer, and we were already really close. And then my community, my aunt is a nurse at Escanaldi, and I have other friends and family members here in the community that work either as police officers or as firefighters or you know, all of our first responders. And I think our community is awesome, and I think that we've done a good job. I see that our numbers are definitely a lot less than if you go to Indianapolis or Marion County. And I think part of that is, we have a little bit a smaller population and we can be more spread apart because it's suburbs and everything like that. But I think a lot of it also is that we've done what we're supposed to. I haven't had any issues with people coming in without a mask, very few, and they haven't turned into a big issue. I have been lucky. I will say that. I've been very blessed in that aspect. I've seen a lot of really, really good things come from this community, people helping each other. There was this program called Hunker Down Hoosiers, and they would come and order, individually boxed meals.
What was the program called?
Hunker Down Hoosiers.
Huh. I've never heard of that.
And they did it more in the Brownsburg store. I don't think we ever saw it at the Plainfield one. But they did it at the Brownsburg store where they would order lots of meals, but they had to be like individually packaged, and then they would take it to the local hospitals and clinics and stuff, and as a donation. So that's a really cool program.
That's nice.
Very cool little program. And and the they would come really like the mom and dad, and the kids would be in the car, and that way they could kind of all help with that, and you saw the kids were getting involved in that, and I thought that was very cool.
That is neat. What type of organization sponsored that? Do you know?
Actually, I'm not sure. I can't remember who they were partnered with, but
it's interesting.
Somebody else was sponsoring that, but yeah.
And for the future, knowing what you know now, what is your big takeaway? What do you think that individuals, communities, or governments should keep in mind for the future should something like this happen again? Any thoughts?
I think that we should keep in mind that sense of togetherness, and that, you know, whether this is, I think that we should always remember to be for each other and for our community, and not just helping ourselves, but thinking about others before ourselves. And I think for anything, whenever you're dealing with some kind of circumstance like this, you should really think about others first.
Yes.
And I say this because I saw multiple instances where, like I said before, I'd go to the store and people were just taking everything.
Yes, that was so infuriating.
Yeah, it was very infuriating because there was definitely enough for everybody.
Right.
And what I took away from that was like those people are thinking in their mind, they're like, I'm going to take care of me and my household, my family first.
Kind of makes you worry about that end of the world scenario type thing, huh?
Yeah, you know, that sort of thing. Not to hate on them because I get that urgency, that survival, that I need to take care of my family. But also take care of your community. And when you take care of your community, you're taking care of yourself. You know?
Brilliant. I love that.
And I think Hendrix in general has that mindset mostly, but maybe just remembering that and caring for each other as if we were, you know, an extended family.
Right. Well, that's a beautiful way to end this.
I'm just very grateful for the opportunity that you've given me to kind of share just a little bit of, as a business owner, what we've done through this. And also grateful that you guys are recording this for future generations. And I think they'll be very, I think coming from someone whose family has been through the Holocaust, it's definitely important to remember history so that we don't repeat it.
Oh, great.
Very important.
Nice. Thank you so much for participating in this project. Thank you for your input. And I hope that you have a great day.
Thank you. Thank you. You too.